As someone who is so excited to garden this spring, yet really wants top quality soil, I'm really excited to introduce you to Coast of Maine, which is an esteemed brand renowned for its organic soil offerings. And if you're seeking to infuse your home environment with a nourishing essence that promotes flourishing plant life, you're gonna wanna listen to this, because with over 28 years of expertise, Coast of Maine has meticulously crafted soils sourced from oceanic waters and farms certified for organic cultivation. It's so nice to find such a sustainable, eco-friendly brand who really emphasizes the importance of natural ingredients to enrich their soil. And I mean, they have, like I said, top quality with rigorous quality control and OMRI listed certification. Their diverse range of products caters to all gardening needs. Most of our soils may lack appropriate nutrients for success for our plants, and our plants need this. We want to regenerate the healthy microbes in our soils to set up for gardening success and just for our plants to thrive. So if we add Coast of Maine products, this will indeed help. Whether you're planting trees or shrubs or perennials in your yard, adding Coast of Maine soil in your planting holes leads to a long, slow feeding of your plants, making them self-sufficient and vibrant, which we love. Let's say you want a vegetable garden. Not only will you receive abundant harvest, but there will be less feeding and maintenance throughout the season. Amazing. You know that everything grown in Coast of Maine soil is organic and safe for your family and friends right out of the garden. And then you get to also feel good about their sourcing, as I'm so thankful they provide natural ingredients, because they will never include household waste or biosolids. And we know that nothing nurtures the world above better than the soil below, cultivated from products and practices rooted in Coast of Maine. And so they will continually perfect the art and science of sourcing, mixing, and composting products worthy of the people and the place that inspired their brand and the healthier world it was built to serve. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. We love supporting local, and the products are carried by local retail partners who can provide advice and insight not found in big box stores. So Coast of Maine knows from beginner to expert. Anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere. And their products make organic gardening simple and approachable so we can all garden. So let's get to growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. That's Coast of Maine, like the state with an E, coastofmaine.com. Speaking of ancestors, How do you connect with them? Because I know they are a huge part of your life.
Yes. So it started for me with just speaking out to them. I just would tell them kind of like what I wanted to do. I wanted to do work for the family. I wanted to build for the community. I would tell them the kind of world I'm trying to build out here. So I would speak this to them out loud. And then, you know, ancestors speak in so many different ways. And I talk about this in my book a little bit, or my deck, my guidebook, about different ways that you can see that ancestors are communing with you. Yeah. And I got definitely those signs, you know, you got your angel numbers, lots of different ways that they are letting you know they're hearing what you're saying and voicing that they want to continue building the bond and the connection. And so from that, I have slowly, I started with a very small altar, and now it is a family heirloom that I use as my altar. So,
that's
where we are now. But it's pretty amazing. Just building that relationship. It's like any other relationship. I build relationships with my trees outside because it's beyond my ancestors. It's the spirits of the land, the spirits of the trees. It's the spirit of, the earth, you know, and connecting and spending time out there and communing with them and connecting with them on a different level. And, you know, people always ask, like, well, because I obviously give offerings to my ancestors, whether it's flowers or food. And it's like, where does that go afterwards? Well, you give it back to the land. So you have to connect with a tree that you can give it back to, who will, you know, take that offering that you've given and like repurpose that, bring it back to the earth.
Beautiful. Now, this is a very interesting question. It might be a little odd, but do you visualize or see them, or do you see their name? Do you see their faces, or is it more of their essence?
Yeah. So that's interesting because, again, being adopted, it's like, at first I was like, who am I talking to? So right. I started with ancestors known and unknown, is kind of the phrase I use. And who all want the best for me and my family towards my highest good and with ease is the phrase that I say.
Oh, do you mind saying that one more time?
Of course. Ancestors known and unknown who want the best for me and my family towards my highest good and with ease.
Oh, that is good, because not everybody has great ancestors.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about some that I probably don't want to get in touch with.
Yes. And it's like really speaking for ancestors who are in alignment with you. And my mother in love says, always add the ease part, because you like, sometimes that journey can be really, really rough if you don't add that ease in.
I like that. The ease. Yeah. Cause it can get intense. You're right.
I started collecting pictures. Some of my ancestors I knew who had passed away. So like my dad's dad and my dad's mom, this is my adoptive parents. And then my mother-in-law started giving me some photos of people who had passed away and telling me their names. And I started building a relationship. And honestly, I do feel their energy with them on my altar. I also started asking them via card, and I use a pendulum a lot. I gave each of them a deck, or some of them didn't want decks. Some of them wanted different divinational tools. So when I was trying to build the relationship, I asked them which deck they wanted and started using that deck to connect with them. So when I specifically speak to them, I could use that specific deck to connect with them.
How do you hear them? Is it like an inner knowing? Is it just a whispering?
I do have a really specific feeling. I get that. I was in a car accident when I was in culinary school.
South Africa?
Yes. Mm. And so I was in this car accident, and thankfully no one was hurt besides me, but I lost a finger and a half in this process. And it was very jarring at the time. It was a lot to process. It was very, it definitely took me off the path I thought I was headed on. So everything got readjusted. But in that accident, later on when I have been here in Colorado, so 2020, I decided to do a palm reading. I was connected to somebody through my mother-in-law connected to me to somebody. And when she did the reading, it's like, if you've never done one, it's really interesting when they break down all the pieces of your hand and what each finger means and what even the little segments of your finger mean. Yeah, and so even for those pieces to be cut off of my hand was like a redirection, this is not something you're not supposed to be focusing on anymore. And those kinds of things. So it was very interesting to learn all that, especially where my life had headed after that. But in my accident, my hand feels different, and I actually feel pulse from them physically on my hand. Not only do I just physically feel them and hear them in my head, I actually have physical acknowledgement from them through my hand based off of what had happened.
Wow. So you get some sort of, it's only a sensation that you can really understand yourself without really explaining it, but oh my gosh, that's actually very interesting. No wonder perhaps that helped you feel more in tune with them, you know?
Yes. And I didn't recognize it at first. I'm sure they were connecting with me before I woke up to that's what it was. But I'm very in tune with it now and understand when they're communing to me. And I think that's this thing that is so hard about the spiritual walk, is when people step into it, especially baby people who are going through their spiritual awakening and who are babies in that, it's everyone kind of wants to learn from everyone. But the reality is no one's experience is going to be like yours. And
amen.
Your gifts are going to be completely different than other people's gifts. And so no one can really teach that. It's hard because you could have a gift that no one else has. And I think there's sometimes gift jealousy in the beginning of when am I going to walk into mine and what is it going to look like? And I'm I wish I could do that. But it's everyone has such amazing gifts, and it's just finally stepping into them and hearing them and kind of learning them on your own. Even when I was in culinary school, I'm doing something I love. I get to cook all day. I love this. I mean, it was just wonderful to be able to like create in that way, because cooking is just such a magical space to, yeah. I don't know, just let yourself go. And that, yes, I definitely feel my ancestors when I cook, like when I'm tasting,
really?
I feel like I hear them like, oh, add a little of this, add a little of that.
I was about to say, do they help with the recipes?
Oh, yes. And if you drop some of the food, like if ever like you're cooking and some of it drops on the floor, that's your ancestors telling you they want some on your altar. So.
Ah, that's theirs. Okay. So you have ancestors. You were talking about right before I asked you about how you hear them. Yes. So yeah. So keep going with your ancestor ritual.
Yeah. So, you know, I've slowly been adding them to my altar and slowly built connections with them and through the different divinational tools. And I definitely call upon them regularly when I have questions or thoughts or, you know, in petitioning towards what I want to do in the world and how I want to create and move. They definitely are with me as we're moving in the world, my husband and myself. So, yeah.
That's amazing. What are some of the other divinational tools that you use to connect with them?
Yeah. So as I said already, the pendulum for sure.
Yes.
And then, and I have a couple of different pendulums. And then I have a bone throwing set, which I'm still learning that one. It's a little bit more challenging, but
interesting.
Yeah, it's hard to read. It's like, but I'm slowly practicing. It's definitely not the easiest. I've gotten pretty good at reading candle flames. My sister's really good. And so she was like training me in that. And I feel like I've gotten pretty strong at reading candle flames.
That is so cool.
Yes. What other divination tool? I think I have one other. Yeah, but those are my main that I do. Occasionally, yeah, I'll do wax, just pouring up wax to see what's going on too.
And then do you ever automatic write to see if there's anything that they want to share with you specifically?
I actually don't use automatic writing that often. Okay. If I really want to hear them and I have an idea, so there's two routes I'll go. One, yeah, is putting spiritual oil like anointing myself with spiritual oil, like of the intention I'm looking for and listening. And then the other is, I feel like I hear them in water. So if I'm like in a pool or I'm showering or taking a bath, I feel like I hear them very clearly.
Oh, that is so interesting. That's so cool. What does your husband think of all this? And does he connect with them as well? His own?
Yeah. I mean, my husband is open to it. He doesn't necessarily fully step into himself, but he will participate in rituals with me. So like, for example, we moved to this house. We obviously knew we needed to cleanse our house. And yes, so he helped me with the cleansing and doing all that. And then regularly burn ancestral money for our ancestors as an offering. And he will do those rituals with me.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I love have you been to Asia or Eastern Asia or any other country or culture that also every single morning they do something to worship their ancestors?
Asia is like one of the continents I have not been to.
Do you ever decide to go to Indonesia, for example?
Yes.
I just remember it was so beautiful. Every morning around 5 a.m., they have a ritual where at least one person in the family, if not more, every single morning they do something to honor and worship their ancestors. And they put this little flower thing that they have, yes, you know, and think that there's a reason why there's such a spellbinding experience there.
Yes. I definitely feel like the ancestral rebuilding, the connecting with the ancestors is so important. Yeah. And it's, again, like we were very connected to our ancestors in Africa. And when we were brought over against our will or want or, you know,
yeah,
dragged over to the United States and enslaved, it's like we lost so much of our culture, our identity, our language, yeah, our roots. And so a lot of us are working to reclaim that and step back into that, because again, so much was demonized. I mean, we were forced into Christianity. You know, mm-hmm, our ancestors were through, you know, they literally were like, if you do not have your slaves, you know, as Christians, like then you kill them. And so what choice do you have but to become Christian? And there were some things that came through and like some, you know, Africanism that like was able to slip through that they were able to carry on. And that's kind of like how hoodoo came about and different things like that. But it's it does hurt sometimes, and you definitely grieve for what we've lost and the fact that this reconnection even has to happen, because it would have been nice for us to be able to have that same bond we've had ancestrally.
I can't even imagine. And I'm glad that you are doing what you can to learn your culture and what your ancestry and what, you know, made you who you are today, and also spreading that with especially children who deserve to know their roots and where they actually came from before colonization.
Yes.
Along with, of course, helping women or anyone get in tune with their ancestry, especially Black culture, with your Black tarot, which again is so beautiful. And I mean, I'm white, but I still felt very connected to it just because it's beautiful. And I am very inspired to do more. I've been inspired. It's actually very synchronistic, Nyasha, that we're talking about this and connecting with our ancestry, because I have been accidentally finding out more about certain ancestors, some not so proud of, again, colonizers, others I am actually very proud of with their roots and how they have been humanitarians, for example. And so, yeah, it's just, I want to connect with them, and I've been wanting to connect with them. So I have been only literally this past month. I used to a long time ago, but it's interesting, before, like this past month I have, and then this week I realized I'm talking with you and what you do, because I wanted to study what you do before our talk. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so synchronistic.
Yes, I love it. And I think, again, I'm like, I love the work when people are looking into their ancestors, and even if there are ugly parts of it, like knowing that is important, and so that you can break those cycles. We know we all have generational curses to break, whether exactly. It's like, you know, one generation back, or if it's like many generations back, but we have so much to unlearn and undo and start creating generational healing, generational wealth in all of its forms, not just financial, but there's so many different forms of wealth that we need to start walking into.
Exactly. Amen. Amen to all of this. Aho. So now with your tarot, I'm curious how that process was in creating this.
Let's see. So it was 2019. I started writing this deck. I've heard it coming to me. And then I needed artwork. So I reached out to, I feel like when I see people are awakening and like they're thinking differently and their minds are opening and they're expanding in so many different ways that are just necessary towards change in our world, people start creating. So I'll notice that people are starting to be more active in the creative world. And so I noticed that my friend from high school was illustrating, and I was like, interesting. So I reached out to her and I was like, hey, like, what are you doing in this realm? I have a project that I'd love to see if you'd be interested in doing. So this is my friend from high school when I was in South Africa. Her name is Kamishka Naidu. And I reached out to her and she was very interested. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm thinking. It's a deck, so it's a little different. But I would love for you to create the artwork for these cards. And it's really great because I feel like her being in the motherland also just gives it another energy.
Yes, that's so true. Oh, I just got chills from that. That actually does hold a very certain power and force with the cards.
Yes, yes.
That they needed.
Yes.
With Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about something truly special for your mama? I am. And let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? So here is how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email, and these can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And then mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And then guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. You get to preserve her voice and her stories for your family. I mean, imagine you're discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, the challenges that she had to overcome in life, the way that you two connect and relate, and also the way her grandkids will relate to her. I mean, this book becomes a legacy and something that you and your future generations can truly treasure forever. I mean, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. So this is your chance to give her a way to share them. And not only am I creating one for my mom now for Mother's Day, but for my dad's birthday, as my dad is turning 80 this year, and I like to gift him with sentimental gifts. You know, he's gifted my family and I so many treasured moments. So I wanted to create something for us to collect these memories and for my future kids, for them to know my father's voice. So beautiful, sentimental, easy to use. Let me emphasize, easy to use. And you can truly create one for anyone. Your mom, your dad, your bestie, maybe even you. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC for 10% off today. I am an everyday a touch of mascara kind of gal, though I love a full glam moment. So whether I'm simply just adding my Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara by Thrive Cosmetics, or adding their highlighter, eyeliner, or eyeshadow to my full glam, Thrive has been my go-to since 2020 for most of my makeup products, so that's why I'm so excited that they're sponsoring this episode. And why do I love them? Well, not only is their quality and their application just chef's kiss, but also the causes they support. In fact, it's in the name, Thrive Cosmetics, C-A-U-S-E, Medics. Thrive Cosmetics and Bigger Than Beauty Skincare exist to empower their customers, employees, and giving partners to live their most confident lives. And so they believe in responsive giving. And so thanks to your support, they either donate their high performance products or much needed funds to help communities thrive. Can't emphasize enough how great their mascara is. Their unique formula creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. Plus, it's incredibly easy to remove. Just a gentle wash with warm water, and it doesn't leave any smudges. The nourishing ingredients also support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And let me tell you, as someone with blonde eyebrows, I really do appreciate the natural look of their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. This easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder. So just a few strokes to the line of your brows and fill in any sparse areas, and it comes with a little spoolie brush to lift and tame your brows afterwards. So with 8 shades to choose from, you'll always find the perfect match for your natural brow hair color. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/magic for 10% off your first order.
I wrote the book and yeah, I feel like I had her work on illustrations and I feel like she did beautiful, beautiful illustrations for me. And then I have another friend who's in Paris when I was there as an au pair for a year, Lucia, and she does tarot readings and a lot of tarot and spirituality work in Paris. And so I just had her look over if she felt like the descriptions and everything I did was in alignment with the cards as well, if everything was flowing and making sense. And she was like, it's gorgeous. I love it. Mm-hmm. So that was very affirming. And then I delivered it to, so with just the major arcana illustrated, delivered it to my literary agents. They pitched it to publishers, and the publisher who published my first book, first traditionally published book, I Affirm Me, was like, oh my gosh, we love this. Like, they were obsessed with the moon card and they were just like, we need to bring this out into the world.
So yes,
that was amazing. And yeah, that was me kind of stepping into doing something beyond children's books, like my first kind of publishing project beyond children's books. And excitingly enough, I have another deck that was just recently picked up that I wrote with my sister.
It's really?
Yeah.
Another one, a new one. Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
So it's an oracle deck and it will come out next year.
You're gonna have to come back on and talk about it, and your sister can come on too.
I would love
that. That'd be awesome. I'm gonna make a note of this, by the way. Okay, an oracle deck. I love oracle decks. That's so exciting because this tarot one is so powerful, and you've stuck with the traditional tarot deck, but you also made it your own. You created instead of queens, mothers, and kings, fathers, which I was like, yes, I love that. And yesterday I pulled the Daughter of Wands and the Star. I did a two. I was like, okay, yep, this makes sense. And today, right when you and I, well, I was waiting for you to get online. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to pull a card. And then I was shuffling the deck. One popped out upside down, though, the High Priestess. And yeah, I'm excited to read about it. But you know, these decks, I can tell they're powerful because it actually popped out. It flew out. And that's a sign that, you know, something's there.
Yes. And then I think the other difference is the suits, right? I have the wands, and then I have the baskets, the knives, and the coins.
Coins, yes.
I don't know. They just felt like more representational of the community. The coins is really important to me because the cowrie shell is a symbol of wealth, and it was used as currency in Africa for a very long time. So that's why I did the cowrie shells. And that felt just very in tune and correct. And then baskets, I don't know, compared to cups, it just felt like more communal. I think like in the hand weaving and the love that goes into creating a basket.
Absolutely.
So, and I think that added to the emotional and spiritual aspect of baskets for me.
Brilliant. So with your ritual, I'd love to hear how people can begin to, let's say they got your deck. Mm-hmm. How do you recommend people begin using the tarot and asking questions?
Yeah. So I'm always a fan of cleansing your space, cleansing the deck, like getting yourself in alignment and ready for being open to answers or wisdom. And so I like to cleanse personally through water. So I'm very much like with my spiritual oils and my Florida water and, you know, all my different spiritual tools, like water and liquid tools that I use to cleanse. So I'll cleanse my space, and then I'll spray the outside of the deck and just get ready, spray my hands. I generally will have a candle lit, and I have a Black Tourmaline candle holder.
Oh, so cool.
I light that, and I generally will run the deck over the candle as well, just in cleansing and preparing. And then once I'm prepared, I'll hold the deck in my hands, begin shuffling it. And as I'm shuffling, I'm really speaking the intention of what I want to know. And a lot of times I'm not really super specific. I'm not like asking a really specific question. I'm just like, what do you want me to know in this moment? And that's generally my question because I don't know, I want to hear, like, I could be asking the wrong thing or asking something that may be irrelevant or asking something that like doesn't truly matter. So I'd rather hear what they think is most important in terms of me knowing.
Yes.
So I generally will just ask for guidance, and I feel and listen to how, like, when it's ready. Like, again, I have that feeling of knowing, like that physical feeling in my hand of knowing when it's ready. And then I will listen if it's like how many cards they want me to pull and if they want me to pull them from the front or the back. I listen to all of it.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. And then one of what else is brilliant is that you also created a guidebook that people can look at every single morning.
Yes. The journal is like that accompaniment with everything. And it's super helpful. I tried to make sure it was something that like I would actively want to use and help me be active in doing divination and sticking by it and building that relationship with whoever you're connecting with, whether it's your ancestors, whether that's God for you, whether that's just the universe, whether that's specific spirits, whatever that looks like to you, making regular practice and ritual with that for yourself.
I love it. And do you feel like your ancestors are, and this is might be a silly question, I don't know, but are your spirit guides, or do you feel like you have like a certain team of spirit guides and your ancestors also as guides?
So from what I've gathered, first of all, for myself, I'll say it can change. So
right.
basically you're going to have around you who you need at that time. So, you know, when I was five, I probably needed someone different than I do now.
True.
And then again, as people pass away too, sometimes in our lifetime, like for example, a grandparent or a parent could pass away. If they, I think, feel if like they really need you, like there's jobs similar to the way there is on this side, we have jobs, things mirror, right? And so in the spiritual world, they could request to be your guide as you continue on without them, if they know you need that, right? So I do believe that. And then I think there's also people who just might like what you're doing in the world and like your flow and like your alignment and like what kind of things you're bringing out into the world. And they're like, I want to vibe with that. Like, I'm going to guide with you. So
I like that. There's
different kinds of guides and different kinds of people that are with you. Like for me, for example, because I'm a writer, I really feel like when I write, it's not just me. I feel like it's my ancestors coming through me when I write. And I think 100%. Especially when I think about ancestors in my past or even like, again, and it's not even of my direct line. It could be like someone who was born way back when, who wanted to be an author, like felt that energy, but was not given that opportunity at that time. I feel like they are coming through people now as well.
Oh, yes. So
I feel like I experienced that with like people who had dreams and ambitions that they were not able to live out at the time. And we are that opening for them to be able to continue walking through and carrying out goals and ambitions that they were unable to achieve in their lifetime.
So interesting. And you know, it just came to heart because I feel like I've been guided lately by my grandparents and a medium confirmed it. I haven't really felt so much guidance. Perhaps I have been, but from, you know, great, great, second great, third great or whatever grandparents. And I was thinking like, perhaps the reason why you've been feeling this is because your ancestors really want the message out there for those who have lost touch with their roots and, you know, the powers that that holds because of, you know, colonization, white supremacy. But I think that that's probably one of the main reasons why you are connected with so many ancestors from far back. I mean, perhaps, I know that I was thinking about, I was like, man, perhaps that's why I haven't felt in touch with like my great, great grandparents, for example. So I feel like I've broken a lot of their cycles, but more immediate grandparents that aren't for what, you know, our other ancestors did, I feel more connected with.
Yes. Yeah. And honoring, like, you know, not everyone's in alignment with you, but I hear the call so clearly to work towards the world that our ancestors deserved, our future children deserve. And so that's really what I try and work and build towards because, you know, things have been very inequitable and I know it is hard to unlearn. It is ugly, ugly crying. It's so many ugly tears and we all make mistakes in it. That's part of the process, but it's being accountable in it. It's acknowledging in it. It's growing, doing better. Like once you know better, do better.
Yeah.
And it's like listening to how other people have been harmed by different things. Right. I'll say an example would be Thanksgiving. It has a lot of meaning for people. It is a lot of tradition for people. And it was something that a lot of people were not even thinking about what the true history of that was. Very helpful to so many communities. And it's been, you know, the indigenous community, it's like, it's a day of mourning almost, you know? When you look at it like that, it's like, reflecting, like, what does Thanksgiving look like? Because I understand people will still want to celebrate in some way and you still have it as a holiday, but what does it look like now? It's like, you know, how are you connecting with the indigenous community? How are you making an effort in changing your focus now because you know the true history? You have to be willing to make those changes, acknowledging whose land you're on. How are you going to make effort towards land back? How are you going to, you know, support indigenous communities and businesses? How are you listening to indigenous voices? You know, how are you re-changing the way that you speak about Thanksgiving? you know, when you're connecting with people, how are you verbalizing it? How are you sharing that story? Making sure that like you're not continuing a narrative that has caused so much harm.
Yes, yes, yes. Yomis, that is a wrap. I hope this episode was expanding for you in some way, shape, or form. Feel free to visit our site at yourownmagic.com or check out my shop, eyesofaspen.com. Connect with the other Your Own Magic listeners. We would love to see more conversations started on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. So with all that being said, thank you so much again for tuning in, and I hope you have a magical rest of your day.